goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. Known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath of the goodness of God, I will see of the goodness of God.
You're gonna sing of his goodness today. We sing of your mercy and your grace, oh God. Oh, we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit fall on this place today. We have lives in need changed, oh God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Cross the emblem.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross, then exchange someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will never be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old someday for a crown. Thank you for the sacrifice, Jesus, that you made on Calvary. You came to set the captives free. You came to set me free. Thank you, Jesus. Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. Gonna rise up out of the ground. Well, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Can I get some rhythm going? Here we go now. Fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant, he's always telling me to run. Love is resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna lay my giants down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. Gonna rise up out of the ground where there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. Oh no.
Oh no.
A battle, a war between death and life. There on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified, and he went on down to hell, and he took back every kid. He rose up as a lion, he's setting all the captives free. Well, there ain't no grave that can hold his body down. There ain't no grave that can hold his body down when he heard that trumpet sound. When he rose up out of the ground, well, there ain't no grave that can hold his body down. No.
Oh no,
oh no,
oh no,
there ain't no grave. Oh no,
oh no,
oh no,
oh, no.
There ain't no grave. Oh no,
oh no,
oh no, there ain't no the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. You walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. Your lives. You are the healer. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega, the beginning and end. And we worship you. We worship you. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory. Let the weight of your glory. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory. Let the weight of your glory fall. We do not seek your hand. We only seek your face. We want to know you. We want to see you reveal your glory in this place. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory. Let the weight of your glory fall. Do not seek your hand. We only seek your face. to know you. We want to see you reveal your glory in this place. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory Lord, your word says, where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst of them. Lord, we just thank you that you are here in this place today. Lord, I pray that you would indeed work and move and flow, walk every row, walk every aisle. Lord, speak to people today. Oh, don't stop, folks. Give him praise. Give him honor. You're not here to hear me. You're here to worship him. Lord, we give you glory today, Father. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. We thank you for watching over us this week and having your hedge about us. Lord, we thank you for protecting us and our kids. And Lord, we continue to pray for your hand to minister to those who have needs, Lord, which is all of us. Lord, speak to each individual person. Touch them right where they're at. Let them know, Lord, that you are walking with them, that you have them, that you are, Lord, doing and working out the very best for them individually. Lord, speak and move today, we pray, Father God. Lord, have your way in this place. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and thank you for your incredible blessings, Father. Lord, I just ask that you would continue to move this morning, continue to work this morning. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be in control. Be glorified today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We have somebody who's going to share the word with us this morning that is a massive part of our body. Massive part of our body. I couldn't be happier to call him my brother, my friend, my partner, everything imaginable. Pastor Brian is going to share the word with us this morning.
Well, looks like I'm back up here again. And you know, it's far easier for me to stand behind a piano and to sing for hours in front of a billion people than it is to do what I'm doing right now. But God has called us for such a time as this, right? Yeah. So we have to be ready in season and out of season. So I'm going to open up with prayer, and then we'll just see what happens after that. And guys, you have a break in the back because I am not using PowerPoint today. So, you guys got a break. Glad to see you out. I'm talking to the guys in the back in the media room. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts open, seeking wisdom and truth. Lord, we ask as we gather in this place that we recognize that you alone are the source of all things that are good and true. And dear God, we ask that you quiet our minds, calm our spirits from ages 0 to 99. Lord, would you calm us all? Lord, we're a blended group here today of just different age groups and from all walks of life, Lord. But we are your children. We pray that you'd calm us. And let your presence be felt among us. sitting within our souls. Lord, would you just give us a stirring, a hunger for your word, a desire to draw closer to you, O God. And Lord, would you just anoint these words today and let them be words from you and from you alone. Father, we know that things in this life can pull away our attention, and things that seem important in the moment pale in comparison of what is going on with eternal treasures you offer us. Dear God, open our eyes to see beyond the surface to the deeper truths you want to reveal. Prepare our hearts to embrace the challenges and the joys of walking in step with you, no matter the cost. And as we prepare to hear from your word, Lord, we just pray that you would speak clearly to each one of us, revealing what you would have us to understand, and give us the courage to respond with faith and trust. In your holy name, amen. Amen. Now, as you know, I this is my desk right here, so this is where I normally stand. And I have all my notes. So I'm not a walker. So if you're used to a preacher walk on the stage, and that's not me. So I will stay put behind this little stand and just bear with me. So let's go for it. So have you ever stumbled upon something so incredible, so life-changing that you give everything you owned just to possess it? Now picture this. A man not too different from you or me walking through a busy marketplace. Perhaps one afternoon, now I've got to admit, I like that. I like walking through the markets. I love garage sales. I love flea markets. I love thrifting. I love treasure hunts. And our family has been known to build and design a vacation completely around where the market is that day. That's how much we like it. So there's something thrilling about finding that hidden gem, that hidden treasure. How many of you here love to do that? I'm preaching to the choir. There's something thrilling about finding that one thing that, you know, that was tucked behind something. I guess I'm walking out, aren't I? So it's tucked behind something, and you see a table, and you move it. And go, oh, ooh, ooh, this is nice. And you look at the price. Really? A dollar? Then that's the bargain of the century, when it ends up being $100 value. Well, this man that I'm talking about walking through this marketplace, he was on a similar quest. He was looking for something. He didn't know quite what, but he knew he wanted something of value. So in the middle of the noisy hustle-bustle of the marketplace, people were haggling, merchants were shouting, the scent of fresh bread and spices hanging in the air. So he was like, maybe I won't find anything so earth-shattering. So he kept walking down the stalls, and then out of the corner of his eye, he spotted it. And you know that moment when something catches your eye, you're like, ooh, what's that shiny over there in the grass? It's a coin. You're like, ooh, yeah. All right. So that's the way he felt. He's like, ooh, what is that? So he got this rush of excitement, and that he was finding something extraordinary. That was him. I get that same rush when I find that vintage treasure. It's like, yeah, baby. But this man saw a pearl. It was just wasn't any pearl. This one glimmered in the sunlight. Almost it was saying, hey, you, here I am. Come get me. So he picked it up. His heart was racing. He turned it over his hand. And in that moment when he looked at it, he knew this wasn't just a trinket. Just wasn't costume jewelry. It was the find of a lifetime. He had uncovered something so rare and so precious that it took his breath away. Now, I keep saying this because I like a good deal. How many of you like a good deal, right? So you understand that feeling when you just struck gold, you're like, wow, what is this? This is incredible. But this pearl that he saw was beyond anything he had ever seen. So without hesitation, he ran. I mean, he really ran. He just didn't walk. He didn't speed walk. He didn't prance or dance. He didn't do anything like that. He wasn't casually strolling. He ran through the market all the way home. And here's the part that would probably surprise all of us here today. He sold everything he owned. I mean, he sold his house, all of his possessions. If he had a car back then, he probably would have sold his car. He sold everything. It was all gone in exchange for this one little pearl. One single pearl. Now, let's think about that. Who does that? Not you or me. I know that. I mean, I would just be in the doghouse forever for that. But I don't think I would sell everything that I own for something that I found at the flea market. I don't know. But this man didn't see it as a loss. He wasn't crazy because he knew the value of this pearl. You see, to the world, it looked like that he was sacrificing everything. But in his eyes, he was gaining something far more greater. And that's the real question here. Are we willing to give up everything for something that we know it's worth? Now, I read that backwards, so hopefully you understood that question. Let me rephrase it. Are we willing to give up for something we know is worth everything? What are we willing to give up? Today, we're going to talk about two women from the Bible. And like that man gave up everything they had because they understood the power of sacrifice. And that's the title of my message, The Power of Sacrifice. They didn't have much by the world's standards, but they were willing to give up everything. And through their acts of faith, God worked miracles. So the math isn't human math, if you think about it. They gave up everything but gained everything. That doesn't make sense, does it? All right, now let's do this. If you haven't already, pull out your phone and get your notepads. If you take your notes on your phone or your device, or if you're old school, get your old pad of paper out and your pencil. I like pencil and paper. I do. So we're going to take some notes. So whatever works for you, all right? All right, so here's another big question. You can write these questions down, or you can review this later and watch it online. But this next big question is, what are you willing to give up to help further God's work, not only in your life, but in this fellowship of believers? And trust that he's going to take care of you. I'm going to say that again. What are you willing to give up to help further God's work, not only for your life, but for the fellowship of believers? And trust that God's going to take care of you. Okay, let me take you on this story. If you will, it was a busy day in the temple of Jerusalem, and people came and went bringing their offerings to the temple treasury. Wealthy worshipers, they were dressed in fine clothes. They proudly placed large numbers of sum of money into the collection boxes where everyone could see. The sound of their coins clinking was so hard to miss. You could hear it a mile away. And onlookers nodded with approval like, oh yeah, there goes somebody with lots of money. And look, and they're giving it. Ooh. And the guy going down to the treasury going, look at me and my bad self. You know? Sort of like that. So, in the midst of this crowd, there was a poor widow. She was quiet and unnoticed. She walked slowly in her simple clothes. She blended into the background. No one hardly ever saw her. She's pretty much invisible. Have you ever felt invisible sometimes? It's lonely, isn't it? And in her hand, she held two small coins worth almost nothing. It's just a few cents. But these coins were all that she had. There was no savings, no wealth to rely on. But yet, she made her way to the collection box. And with a soft, steady hand, the widow dropped the coins in. They hardly made a sound. No one paid attention. But you know what? Someone did notice. And from where he sat, Jesus was watching. He saw the wealthy and their grand gestures, and his eyes were drawn to this humble widow. And he called his disciples over, and Jesus said in Mark 12:43, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." Jesus said, his voice steady and full of compassion. And then continuing in Mark 12:44, the disciples turned to look at the widow, unsure at first of what Jesus was pointing out. They gave all out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty, and put in everything. She put in everything. All that she had to live on. Jesus continued emphasizing the depth of her sacrifice. The disciples' eyes had to be wide as they began to understand that the wealthy had given so much. Thank God for wealthy people that give. We're not saying anything about that. It's all about what you give and how you give. This woman had given all she had. Her small coins were far greater offering in God's eyes because they represented total trust and faith. So I guess one coin was trust, one coin was faith. Trust and faith, she put it in the offering plate. So in Luke 12:34, Jesus taught from this as well. Also, before we go any further, I have put together all the scriptural references. If you want them, we have a copy of them for you. So we'll have it in the back for you, all the scriptures that I used today, okay? So in Luke 12:34, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He had said, and in this moment, the widow's treasure was not in her coins, but in her faith in God's provision. She didn't put her trust in those coins or what she had. She put her faith in what God could or would provide. So I'm going to take you down another story. We've talked about the woman with the two coins, right? Just like the widow who gave her last two coins, there was another woman, desperate, alone, and she suffered for years and years and years. She too had nothing left but death and humiliation hanging over her. So that's what she carried with her. And one brave act, she reached out to Jesus, believing that even a simple touch could change everything. And what happened next? Well, let's say it left everybody speechless. Now here we are in a large crowd gathered around Jesus. Come with me on this little journey. The streets are packed. People were pressing in, pushing, trying to see Jesus. They heard he's in town. They wanted to hear his words or witness the miracles that they heard about. And the atmosphere was buzzing with excitement. All eyes were towards Jesus or were where Jesus was or where he was going because it was like this moving sea of people. That's where Jesus was because that's how popular he was during that time. Everybody wants to see him heal the sick. They want to hear his authority. I mean, it was something new. They hadn't experienced anything like this. So in the middle of this throng of people, in this sea of people, there was a woman. Her face was weary, drawn, exhausted, probably out of breath. Her body was frail. You see, she'd been struggling for 12 long years of a condition that not only drained her strength, but also her spirit. She had a constant issue of blood, always flowing, unrelentlessly, and it was shameful back then. She was considered unclean. No one wanted to have anything to do with her. It's like, ooh, gross, get away from me. You're going to give me that, you know, like, ooh, cooties. Yeah, you know, it was worse than that. She had 12 years of being an outcast because of a health condition beyond her control. She'd gone to doctors. She tried everything. She spent all the money that she had on trying to figure out how to stop this. No one could help her. She was labeled unclean. She lived on the outskirts of town, avoided by society, forgotten by so many. It must have been so horribly lonely for her. But she hadn't given up completely, not yet. She heard about this Jesus. She heard about his power, of how he healed with just a word or a touch. And now here he was in her town. He was walking through. She couldn't get through the crowd. She could not. It was so hard. But she was so determined. She was so determined. No one hardly ever saw her, so she was squeezing through people. She was like, maybe she was on the ground crawling around their feet, trying to get around their ankles. Because have you ever been through a crowd? Have you ever tried to, you know, it's you just can't do it. If it's just like a wall of people. But she had a flicker of faith that God, that Jesus could do something for her. And she thought to herself, and in Mark 5:28, she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Despite the crowd, despite her fear of being noticed, because that was a fear she had for 12 years of someone seeing her, because she had potentially being stoned and outcast and left for dead, but she did it anyway. She knew this was her moment. So weak and trembling, she pushed her way through. No one noticed her. But that didn't matter because her eyes were fixed on Jesus. Her faith drew her forward. She was determined. So finally she got close enough. I'm sure I can visualize this. She's probably... It wasn't just come up and just let me touch Jesus. She had to probably lay on the ground just to reach the hem. That's by his feet. She reached out. She barely brushed the hem of his garment. Something incredible happened at that moment. Instantly, she stopped bleeding. She was healed. She felt it. You know the pain that she had for 12 years? That constant. Have you ever had a migraine or a headache that just is like relentless? That pain. She had that for 12 years. It was gone immediately. And the humble person she was going to try to slip away. I'm sure. Slip in, get my healing, make no notice, slip out. But as she was, I'm sure it was probably like lightning going off in her head. Like, wow, can you imagine the miracle? Oh my goodness. But before she could slip away, Jesus stopped because they were moving. So she's probably crawling after him, touched him, and the whole crowd stopped. And Jesus was like, what? What? And he said, he's scanning around looking at the sea of faces, I'm sure, and he knew who it was, but he likes drama, you know, Jesus. And he asked in Mark 5:30, who touched my clothes? His disciples looked at him confused. They're like, what? There are like a million people around you. Everybody's trying to touch you, Jesus. But in Mark 5:31, he said, you see the people crowding against you, and yet you can ask, who touched me? They're asking Jesus that. They're like, what? That's insane. It seemed impossible to identify just one touch among so many. But Jesus knew. Jesus had felt the power go from him. That just wasn't another person just brushing against him or someone reached out. But someone had reached out in faith. And he wanted to find her. So Jesus said, who touched my clothes? So the woman realized that she could no longer stay hidden. She came forward. It was like she fell at his feet. She told him everything. How she had been sick for years. All the humiliation. No one could heal her. She spent all of her money. In one desperate moment, she hoped for a miracle. She had faith that Jesus could heal her. I wonder if she expected a rebuke because she did something against what society said she should have done. Like they wanted her over here, hidden, out of the way, forgotten. But I wonder if she expected to be rebuked by Jesus. I mean, she only heard of him. She only heard that he heals, but she really didn't know him. But she touched him. He touched her. But instead of reprimanding her, Jesus looked at her with compassion, and his words were full of kindness, and he spoke directly to her heart. In Mark 5:34, he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." Now I'm going to repeat that. "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. So go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And in that instant, not only was she healed physically, but she was restored emotionally, and she was restored spiritually. Jesus didn't call her woman. "Oh, woman, you're healed." He called her daughter, a term of love, belonging, and acceptance. He acknowledged her faith, her courage, and her persistence. See, she just wasn't a face in the crowd anymore. She was seen. She was valued. Jesus saw her. What about you? Have you, or are you pressing through a crowd, trying desperately to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? I want to encourage you. He sees you. Yeah, he sees you. I'm going to say it one more time. He sees you even at home or wherever you're watching. See, this woman's story was like the story of the woman with two coins. And it reminds us of the power of faith, even in the most desperate situations. See, she had no wealth to offer, no great status. All she had was her belief that Jesus could heal her. And she came to her in her brokenness. Brokenness in physical, broke at the bank, broke emotionally. And in her desperation, and in return, she received healing and restoration. She was no longer broken. See, her touch was small. Just as the widow's coins, those two coins were small, right? But both acts were filled with faith. And it was that faith that moved Jesus. Both women, unnoticed by the crowds, were fully noticed by God. And you may not be noticed or feel like you're noticed, but you are noticed by God. You are. They gave everything they had, everything. One in her giving, the other in her belief. And in return, they received more than they could have imagined. And as Jesus said to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." That's Mark 5:34. Her healing came not from that touch, because she could have just touched an apple or touched whatever. But her healing came from the faith that led her to reach out to Jesus. And he healed her. So where are we reaching out in faith? Where are you reaching out in faith? Are you taking notes? Ask yourself that later. Answer that later. What burdens are we willing to place in Jesus' hands and believing that he is able to do far more than we can ask or even imagine? It's easier said than done, because if we're carrying a load, some of us carry cancer, some of us carry we carry other issues, emotional issues, we carry other illnesses in our body. Some are terminal, some are chronic, some last a lifetime. So it's easier said than done, I know. But I want to share something personal that resonates with both of these stories in some way. And in many ways, I feel a deep connection with the woman who suffered for 12 years. All right, I got my breath. All right, so you see, ever since COVID, I've struggled with the issue of blood myself. I don't know if anyone knows or not, but during COVID, I came down with double embolisms in my lungs. There are blood clots in each lung. And so I've been on a blood thinner for, since 2020 maybe? Yeah, for a while. And I thought the medicine was helping. But this last June, I discovered that the medicine had failed me, and I ended up in the hospital with double pulmonary embolisms. Again, that's blood clots in each lungs. It was a terrifying experience for the family. I think probably maybe for them more than me, because, you know, when you're the patient, you're like, what? What's going on here? But it was unsettling. It really was. But since then, I've been on daily injections to manage the condition. Every day I give myself a shot in the stomach. Some of you do that as well for blood sugar. But that shot is a constant reminder of how fragile my body really is and the ongoing battle for my health. There have been moments when I felt like the woman with the issue of blood, feeling desperate, like drained, lack of energy, wondering when the relief will come. But like her, I've had to place my faith in God and keep pushing forward and trust Him that He is in control. Even when circumstances feel overwhelming. And in the moments of doubts and fears, it's not the medicine that has sustained me. It's my faith, knowing that God sees me just like He saw her. And like the widow with her two mites, I've offered up my small sacrifices to the control over my body and my health, surrendering my future into God's hands. Every time I do the injection, it does feel like I'm doing a little sacrifice because it hurts. A daily reminder that life isn't guaranteed, but I'm trusting that God's provision for each day. I'm grateful. It gives me a sense of like, wake you up. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for God providing for me. I'm grateful that I have this medicine that I can take. I'm grateful for so many things, but it's not fun. Trust me. I'm learning to give up my own worries over my control of my health to God. It's not easy. But in those small sacrificial acts of trust, I believe that God sees just like He saw that woman's offering. And there are moments when we feel like we have nothing left to give. God still sees what we give, how small or great it is. So when I read about these two women, I'm reminded how God meets us in our most vulnerable moments, whether it's in your health, our finances, our relationships, or our time. He sees the sacrifices we make. No matter how great or small it seems to others. The challenge for us all is to continue trusting. We've got to continue to trust. We've got to continue to offer up what we have, what we can. Whether it's our health, our resources, or our time, we got to believe that God honors those sacrifices just like He did for the widow and the woman who touched His garment. I have a question for us. What if we, as a church, were willing to give up everything? Our time, our resources, our trust, Imagine what could happen if we fully surrendered to His will. So I'm going to invite you in a minute to come down to the altar. The altar is a place where we lay down what we've been holding back. This is the altar here. This is the altar. The front of the church is what we call the altar. It doesn't have to be a physical thing. It's the front of the church. When we come to the front, I want us all to have a personal moment with God. And when you come to the altar, if you can't kneel, that's fine. God sees you. He sees your knees. He sees your back. He knows. He does. But I want you to ask yourself these questions. What am I willing to sacrifice to see God's will accomplished in my life? What am I willing to sacrifice to see God's will in my life, in my church, and in my community? What, I keep saying me, but I'm going to say you now. What are you willing to sacrifice to see God's will accomplished in your life and those around you and your community? So think about where you live, your community. That's your community there. That's part of your community. This is your community here. Your job is where your community. So God's will, and what are you willing to sacrifice? And then your next question is, how is God calling you or me to trust Him more deeply today? Not next week, not how I trusted Him last week. How is God calling us to trust Him more deeply today? And this is about what other people are thinking. It's between you and the Lord. But let's be honest. I'm saying this to myself too. It's time to surrender. It's not working for us, people. It is not. We know what we have to surrender. I don't know what you have to surrender. God does. You do. I don't. I know what God is laying on my heart to surrender. Doesn't matter how old you are. You could be in kids' church. God bless those kids. All the way up to the oldest person here. God has a purpose for you. And He wants you to sacrifice to Him. So come down to the elders now and reflect on these questions. So come to the altars now to reflect on these questions. Again, it's not about what other people think about what you're talking to God about. It's about what you are talking to God about. That's all that's more important. And that you have ears and hearts to receive what He has for you. So ask the Lord what you're willing to sacrifice to see God's will accomplished in your life, with those around you, in this church, and throughout your community. So let God speak directly to your heart right now. Let's step out in faith together, trusting that God honors even the smallest acts of sacrifice. He honors even the smallest or greatest acts of faith. And if you'd like for someone to pray with you, we have people here ready right now. So just lift your hand and we'll have someone come pray with you. Lord, we thank You for speaking to us today. You know each heart here, O God. And You see what we're holding back from You. It's no secret to You. Lord, we have things in secret. We have things in the shadow. But when You're around, Your light shines. There is no darkness. Lord, as we're at the altar, help us to truly surrender to You, trusting that You are faithful to provide. Teach us to sacrifice with joy, knowing that everything we give to you is used for your glory. Guide us as we respond, and give us the courage to trust you completely.